Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long. For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Noel.
Our colleague Matt is on adventures. They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Quick disclaimer at the top. Today's episode contains at times graphic material involving coercion, brainwashing, and sexual abuse. As such, this may not be appropriate for all listeners, but we can assure you this is one doozy of a story. And it's one that a lot of people in the U.S. might not know, Noel, other than a few articles by Broadly and Vice, right?
Yeah, I knew precious little about it and very quickly entered into a deep dive that became kind of a nosedive down the rabbit hole of this infamous, fascinating, complex, and most likely diabolical dude named Adnan Oktar.
Yes, our exploration takes us across the Atlantic all the way to Turkey. It's the story of a cult, creationism, and controversy. So let's learn a little bit about the now infamous Adnan Oktar. Here are the facts. You may have heard of this guy called Adnan Hoca, or you may have even read one of his many books and pamphlets written under the pen name Harun Yahya. Spoiler, we're pretty sure he didn't write a lot of these himself. But he was born in Ankara, Turkey in 1956, and he was growing up in a pretty well-to-do, pretty connected secular family. But he studied a lot of religious ideology growing up. This was something that always captivated him, even as he went to school.
Quick secondary and far less important disclaimer. I am now ensconced in my new house, and there is some construction going on outside on a deck situation. So if you hear some banging or saws or something intermittently, I please extend my deepest apologies. But back to Oktar. In 1979, he went to Istanbul and enrolled in Mimar Sinan Fine Arts University, where he wanted to study architecture, specifically interior architecture, which I guess is that how far removed is that from interior design? I think it's kind of the same thing, right?
I was wondering the same thing. It might be specifically related to the construction of mosque. You know, the interior of a mosque is so, can be so beautifully ornate and intricate. Yeah, it might be that.
And it would be almost a discipline that would be very specific to that part of the world.
Yes, agreed. We want to give a shout out to a work called The Mahdi Wears Armani. This is a great source online about this guy and his rise and fall. So while he was in university, like you were saying, Noel, studying interior architecture, he also becomes involved in religious activism. This was a really interesting time for anyone in Turkey to be a religious activist, because just 1 year later, in 1980, there was a coup and a military junta took over. Things were tense. Turkey was highly politically, culturally unstable at this time. And the two overall groups that are beefing are secular forces that want, in their opinion, they want to modernize the country, by which they mean make it less religious. And then there was a wave of Islamic fundamentalists, or you could even say militants. And they believed that a secular Turkey represented a turning away from God. So these people both are very assured in their ideology, and they're very much playing Highlander rules. There can be only one at the throne of government. And during this time, Oktar, there's a mosque near his school. It's the Mullah Mosque. And he goes there and meets with other people, other religious scholars and students and activists. And according to some of his ex-colleagues, he later becomes something of a religious zealot, but not what you're thinking of, because his zealotry becomes very unique, as we'll find.
Yeah, he's essentially like trying to reform in some ways Islam, specifically as it pertains to women, the idea of women, the way women are treated and women's place in society. Which is interesting on its face, right? Because, I mean, we know that like a big controversy surrounding hardline fundamentalist Muslim culture is often that, you know, the treatment of women is very, you know, retrograde. The idea that they are required to kind of cover their bodies in order to not act as temptations to men, that they are somehow like, I guess, vessels of sin in some ways. I mean, again, please, any Muslims out there, fundamentalist Muslims out there, this is zero shade on anyone's religious choice. I just think these are observations that most anybody could make. But if I'm getting it wrong, please call me on it. But my point is, to women who live in this culture, I could see how this type of thinking would be interesting, potentially. Ooh.
Yeah, say there's a guy named Edip Yüksel who we'll mention a couple times here. And according to him, he's the one who at the Mullah Mosque gave Oktar this idea when he said, you know, there's not a requirement to wear hijab in the Quran. Oktar took this and ran with it. And I agree with your point that this could be an attractive and maybe more free-seeming belief system for a lot of younger folks who maybe felt oppressed by society. He wasn't, by the way, preaching to just anyone at this time. Like a lot of charismatic cult leaders, he is targeting folks. He's targeting people from well-connected, wealthy families in Istanbul, folks who are young and impressionable and have access to money and power. Not everybody agreed with him, especially as his beliefs got more, let's say, idiosyncratic over time. But everybody agreed on one thing. Hot dog, they said. This guy is charismatic. You know what I mean? You could hang out. You could have tea with him. You might not agree with him, but he'll make you laugh. He'll give you something to think about. You know, he's got a public personality, you know, larger than life.
He sure does. He's fond of like dancing, kind of like techno music, and fine suits. He has a very distinct kind of haircut and the way he styles his beard. I mean, he really is this kind of almost televangelist kind of figure. It's a different style than what we're used to here with like these prosperity theology folks that you might see on TV, these mega churches. But it's got a similar air to that, don't you think, Ben?
Yeah, I agree. And there are a lot of analogs we can draw because, as we'll find, he is extremely interested in preaching through mass media, right? And he starts, you know, he starts in the 80s, which is a very different media landscape. Sometime between 1982 and 1984, he forms a solid group of followers. They cohere into a group of about 20 to 30, and then this group starts growing because he's recruiting, he's having his followers recruit kids from a private high school. And just like the other ones, they're from well-connected, well-to-do families, but a bonus for Oktar, they're also even younger. So he preaches what he calls a refined and urbanized version of existing teachings to the children of the privileged class. And he says, look, we're going to avoid all the stuffy, old, buttoned-up traditions. We're going to remember what's really important. Here are the things we fight against. We fight against left-wing ideologies like Marxism and communism. But of all the things I hate the most, says Oktar, the most dangerous thing ever is evolutionary theory and Darwinism.
Wait, what?
They're the devil's back door.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And this makes sense, right? I mean, well, okay, let me walk that back just slightly. In the context of fundamental belief in a singular God as a creator, Darwinism is a little bit of a sticky wicket, right? It's a little inconvenient. Of course, we know there are plenty of Christians who believe in God and believe in, you know, the Bible in whether incomplete, strict constructionist version or, you know, more like a parable or like kind of like an allegory, who also believe in evolution. There are plenty of scientists who are devout religious people who believe in science just as strongly as they believe in religion. And given that this guy Oktar is going for a more quote unquote progressive form of Islam, you'd think maybe that would include science and be like, oh no, we allow women to be treated not only as equals, but we'll get to this, as superior, but also, yes, science can coexist with. No, that is not the direction he chose.
Absolutely.
In fact, he's almost more, before people thought of him in the context of this group and as this kind of de facto cult leader, he really was considered a religious scholar of creationism.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is a point that I know will be important to many of our listeners who are themselves of the Islamic faith. Overall, Islam is quite diverse, more so than I think many people outside of Islam understand. And just like you said, Noel, Islamic views on evolution have a wide range. And he is very far on the creationism end of the spectrum, but people like him and they respect him as a scholar up to a point. And at this point, you would say, you know, if you're an average person in Turkey, you might say, so far, so good. I mean, many people of the Islamic faith might disagree with him on various points. Some people were already saying, this is getting kind of cultic. But in general, people can believe what they want so long as they're not hurting anyone. That's the idea.
Yeah, or involved in some egregious level of organized crime or criminal activity, which, you know, you could argue has varying degrees of quote unquote hurting people. There are no victimless crimes most of the time, but yeah, it's a thing. My question for you, Ben, is did he pursue any higher degrees beyond his interior architecture studies that would allow him to like officially be considered like a member of like the kind of literati, or was this sort of like he was like a self-styled almost like armchair scholar?
Like you mean like when some preachers here in the U.S. just start calling themselves bishops?
Yes, that.
Yeah. So he started writing a lot, or publishing a lot, we should say. And we're talking about pamphlets like The Theory of Evolution, which uses mysticism and science-sounding words to kind of attack evolutionary theory. But to your question, in 1986, he enrolls at the philosophy department of Istanbul University, which is quite prestigious. And this gets him more news coverage. This gets him closer, right, to attaining that kind of higher degree. But for him, more important now, is the goal of acquiring more followers, particularly impressionable female followers from wealthy backgrounds. And then, of course, he starts getting into some pretty wackadoo conspiracy theories. And he's got an audience for it. Yeah.
There certainly is an audience for it. And what he's doing is he's making some pretty hot takes in the interest of turning heads, right? He publishes a 550-page book titled Judaism and Freemasonry, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ben, had some pretty anti-Semitic to it.
Oh, yeah. And it was it's one of those books that it's not super original. It's kind of like his own take on the classics. It's sort of a cover album of the idea that some hidden group influences the media, academia, and the political structures of not just Turkey, but the world to, quote, erode the spiritual, religious, and moral values of the Turkish people and make them like animals. So boom, now we got some hate speech. And you're right, he is courting attention and controversy. And this gets him, you know, the clicks. Figuratively speaking. So he starts leaning into it. And unfortunately, this kind of anti-Semitism isn't all that unusual in Turkey. But remember, there's still that secular religious tension. So secular authorities have their eyes on him. They have their eyes on anyone they think might try to have another coup and create a theocracy. So he gets arrested, locked up for almost 2 years, 19 months, and he never gets formally charged. He eventually gets let go. And I think one of the tipping points, actually, just to give you a sense of how tense the country was, is Oktar was in a newspaper interview, and he said, "I am from the nation of Abraham and Turkish ethnicity." And that was a bridge too far. But, you know, just like the propagating anti-Semitism and telling people you've got your own take on Islam, getting arrested gave him more press. It gave him more publicity. That's what this guy's all about. So his movement grows and grows through the 80s, through the 90s, and they start to have that classic original recipe mission creep of all cults. He becomes more and more of a messianic figure. He's not just some guy talking. He's a guy revealing these truths that only he can reveal. And maybe we talk just a second about his books. We're still just in the facts. We're not in the crazy part yet. Because Noel, you and I were talking briefly off air, and it sounds like even though his name is on a ton of pamphlets, shout out to Paul Mission Control. Paul searched for the guy's name, and his occupation came up as Turkish pamphleteer. But even though he wrote all these books and pamphlets, word on the street that we heard is that maybe his followers were the actual authors.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like when you take on that kind of messianic role or that like truly cult leader kind of position, you essentially like own everything that your followers do because they're doing it all like serving at your pleasure almost under the guise of like self-improvement. But at the end of the day, they're just kind of another tool in your portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. And he starts a lot of he likes starting organizations. He starts one called the Science Research Foundation. We are not native Turkish speakers, so we're going to mispronounce this, but it's Bilim Araştırma Vakfı, or BAV is what it stands for. And they hold all these conferences and seminars, kind of like a Scientology PR push, where they want to say, we're going to tell you the real causes of social and political conflicts.
I mean, I love the just bare bones, basic nature of the name of this, because it's so simple that it implies like we are the authority on science. We are the Science Research Foundation. We're doing it so you don't have to. So listen to us when we say that evolution is bogus. Also, a lot of his books contain images of like fake fossils and things like that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a thing, too.
Dude, he's 10 toes down on hating evolution. It's like the worst thing to him. But this leads other members of the media who've had their eye on it to start openly calling it anything from a cult-like organization to a secretive Islamic sect. He starts another thing in 1995 called the Foundation for Protection of National Values. And this was a networking opportunity for him to start connecting with conservative nationalist organizations. And influencers, powerful individuals. 2 years later, by the way, since nothing happens in a vacuum, there is another military intervention in 1997. This is often called a bloodless coup. And then 2 years after that, Adnan Oktar is arrested and charged with using threats for personal benefit and creating an organization with an intent to commit a crime. He gets convicted, sentenced to 3 years in jail. Verdict is appealed. In 2010, it was overturned. The same year, 2010, he is called one of the top 50 of the 500 most influential Muslims in the world by the Royal Islamic Strategic Studies Center in Jordan. And then the year after that, he gets a TV network.
Yeah. And I mean, it is. So it's not just an internet thing. It's actually also broadcast on Turkish cable, right? It's called the A9 satellite channel. And it really does kind of have the feel of sort of a YouTube meets like Wayne's World kind of cable access type show with a, you know, reasonably constructed set, but looking on a little bit on the cheap side. And, you know, with Oktar kind of positioned as the anchor, the host surrounded by like iPads and laptops and stuff. And, you know, mainly acting as a platform for him to espouse his own personal views.
Yeah. Exactly. What you could call his unique brand of televangelism. And we'll get to that. We're going to dive into that program in specific in just a bit. But if you were familiar with this story, you might be saying, hey, didn't I see that guy in the news a few years ago? You certainly did. Because on July 11th, 2018, the Turkish Police Financial Crimes Unit did a raid. They detained Oktar and well over 150 of his associates. The charges were, among others, forming a criminal enterprise, committing financial fraud, and widespread sexual abuse. So what on earth was going on with Adnan Oktar? We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and then we'll tell you.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/Concert Week to buy now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's where it gets crazy.
Yeah, so if you didn't already kind of get a sense of which way the wind was blowing, this is definitely a cult. Okay, we allegedly, but it's a cult. not only a regular old run of the mill cult. This is a sex cult, because we'll get to it. He was absolutely like a massive media figure at this point. His television show, he was very popular as an author. Like we mentioned, like, I mean, he was really more known by his pen name. Exactly. And for like, I think he wrote like, he put out anyway, dozens of books on creationism, and they sold very, very well in Turkish bookshops. He also has become this kind of like, you know, media sensation on TV now. So he really is kind of like a double threat, if not a triple threat. By the way, if you want, you can check out clips from his show and his broadcast, and it's all very self-aggrandizing. There's like documentaries about him kind of, you know, as this, like, you know, like you said, Ben, and like elevating him to the status of almost like a demigod, you know, on Earth. And it's weird, unequivocally. It's odd.
Right.
Yeah. Not only because of just the production value and the self-aggrandizement and stuff, and we'll get into his women, but also just like he changes his story a lot. It all feels very like Trumpist kind of rolling with it and just kind of shooting off whatever comes to the top of the dome and then figuring out a way to explain it away if ever called on it, which he's not, because nobody calls cult leaders on it. That's why you're a cult leader, because you don't want to be called on things.
He's just freestyling for a lot of it, to be honest with you. And yes, we're not the only ones, us outsiders who are not ourselves Turkish, we're not the only ones who found this show weird. His views are pretty contradictory at times, especially if you look at everything over the span of what he's been saying. It seems to have a lot of inner conflicts. Strictly fundamentalist in some ways, but he calls himself a feminist. Nearly hedonistic in others. Let's go ahead and say it. One of the things that freaked people out the most is that while he's doing these diatribes, his female devotees, which he calls his kittens, are sitting around nodding, and they've been encouraged, coerced in some cases, into looking almost exactly the same. A lot of plastic surgery, a lot of makeup, and the only difference for many is the hair color. Some are not blonde. And in between—
But most are blonde.
Most are. Most are nearly identical and blonde. And in between his statements or his lectures, they play pop music, because like we said, he loves dancing, and then the kittens get up and dance. It's like a Benny Hill song or the heyday of Playboy.
And I don't know, we maybe have watched different episodes and maybe they do it differently or it's evolved, but in the one I saw, I highly recommend checking out the Broadly Vice documentary, where like an incredible correspondent goes in and actually appears on the show, where she is forced to be slathered in like weird makeup against her will. I mean, she, you know, it submits to it for the purposes of, you know, journalistic, you know, curiosity, but it's like the weirdest thing. And in this episode, in these like little segues, the women are dancing, but they're sitting while they're doing it. They're in their seats, just kind of bopping to the rhythm. And like this journalist whose name I will pull before we finish. It kind of starts playing along, just sort of clapping awkwardly while like right. looking around. It's the weirdest thing ever.
He will, yeah. Oktar will also ask one of the kittens to come up and like stand there while he does a weird little dance, you know, just kind of like, I don't know if this will translate, but he's just sort of moving his elbows and his hips.
It's kind of like when Puff Daddy's in his own artist videos, yes. just kind of waving his hands around, kind of shimmying from side to side, not particularly adding much Oktar, to the conversation.
I told you that I can't stop. Oktar. Yeah. I told you that I can't stop. Okay, so
Ben,
yeah.
You saw that yeah. Broadly piece too, and you mentioned yes. the incredible journalist named Mayor Ahmad. But would you tell us more about her exploration and kind of where it led and some of the questioning that she was able to get in under duress, by the way?
Yeah. Mayor Ahmad, if you are listening, we're grateful to you. And you are, in my opinion at least, you are a soldier because her story starts when she's trying to interview members of Oktar's group about feminism and Islam. And she gets a pen pal who's one of the kittens in this group. And they talk over Skype for like a year. There's a lot of pre-production going into this. She travels to Istanbul in 2015 to make that video we're mentioning for Vice. And her idea is, look, let me try to get past what seems like a facade here. Everybody is being weirdly nice to me, like Stepford level nice to me. And the male followers, who are called the Lions, are constantly checking in and trying to make sure, in her view, that she doesn't get any alone time with the kittens, including her pen pal, doesn't get to talk to them at all. And she gets this very curated experience being on the show. You can tell it's super awkward. And she, you know, she powers through it. I think in a later statement, she said, and I left with just way too much makeup slathered on and this huge Photoshop book of fossils. And she's freaked out. And you can tell why in the video, because it turns out there's a dark side to this cult. It's not just a weird kind of Turkish Hugh Hefner meets religious movement thing. All of Oktar's tremendous influence, his cultural power and charisma leads to that tipping point when the tide turns in 2018. The law has cracked down on his alleged financial crimes, but that's just the beginning. As we speak right now, the guy was originally sentenced to more than 1,000 years in prison, 1,075 years specifically for crimes like sexual assault, sexual abuse of minors, fraud, attempted political and military espionage. And Noel, I think you'll have fun with this. I pulled the official quote of the entirety of the charges he got slapped with. I think you might have fun reading it, but it's a long one. So you're going to lean into your voice acting.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. This is almost like the kind of thing you read in like a, you know, pharmaceutical ad disclaimer speed, just to get it all out there. But we'll slow it down a little more than that so you can really have a chance to marinate in some of these accusations. Okay, so we got forming a criminal organization, sexual abuse of children, sexual assault, child kidnapping, sexual harassment, blackmailing, false imprisonment, political and military espionage, fraud by exploiting religious feelings, money laundering, violation of privacy, forgery of official documents, opposition to anti-terror law, coercion, use of violence, slander, alienating citizens for mandatory military service. Sorry.
One's just insulting. It's just insulting.
Insulting. False incrimination, perjury, aggravated fraud, smuggling, tax evasion, bribery, torture, illegal recording of personal data, violating the law on the protection of family and women, and violating a citizen's right to get education and participate in politics.
And attempting a coup, by the way. This reminded me, I didn't expect this to show up, but Oktar was also found guilty of aiding a group led by a Muslim preacher named Fethullah Gulen, who we had covered in a previous episode years ago through his school system.
Yeah.
With our pal Sam Teagarden, who actually went to that school.
That's so, right. That was sort of the front, right? The school, in a way.
Right.
It was like,
especially to Turkish critics will say that. And they say Gulen was attempting a coup in 2016 and that Oktar was helping him. When the law gets to his house, they find so much weird stuff. One of the things they find is a hidden cache of firearms, body armor, and armored vehicles. Oktar, by the way, is caught as he's trying to run away. Two of his, I guess, higher-level followers, executives, Tarkan Yavuz and Oktar Babuna, are sentenced to 211 and 186 years, respectively. And during this trial, which is a sensation in Turkey for months, right? It's like the OJ trial or the Epstein trial. People are paying attention to it. During this trial, the court hears profoundly disturbing sex crimes and accounts of abuse in detail. And Oktar is, you know, leaning into this kind of constructed personality he has of being like wise, but also very macho, right? And he sees himself as a ladies' man. He tells a judge in December of 2018, I have close to 1,000 girlfriends, but it seems that according to multiple members of his group, not near all of these girlfriends were consensual. The Guardian had a good recount of this. There was one person at his trial, a cult survivor, identified only as CC, and she told the court that Oktar had not only repeatedly sexually abused her, but he had abused other women as well. And in that raid we mentioned earlier, police found 69,000 contraception pills. When asked about them, Oktar said they're used to treat skin disorders and what he called menstrual irregularities. But it turns out, by multiple witnesses, including CC, many of the women who say he had sexually assaulted them said he also forced them to take these pills afterwards. CC, by the way, said she herself joined the cult when she was 17 years old and the abuse began shortly after.
And disclaimer, within the disclaimer, this is the part where it gets super dark. You may have noticed in the first of the early of the charges I rattled off, there was one, sexual abuse of children. And this has been corroborated by multiple former members of the group. Of course, you know, Oktar denies all of these things vehemently and says that all of these former members are just bitter and just trying to bring him down or trying to sort of like stem his like political ambitions and things like that, that everyone's out to get him. It's a witch hunt, etc. But here is what we do know. Sita Isildar, who's another survivor, former member, told the Sunday Times that Oktar also sexually abused her when she was 16. He also forced her to undergo a nose job, she claimed, without any anesthesia when she was 20. The victim said she is still traumatized by the brutal surgery, stating, I can still remember the hammer. I was counting how many times they were hitting the hammer and the chisel to my nose. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And there was a piece that I watched on a YouTube channel called The Newsmakers. I'm not sure if that's a television-based thing that has a YouTube presence or if it's just a YouTube thing, but it felt very much like a BBC-style report. And it had this particular episode had a guest by the name of Saylan Özgul, who is a former mm-hmm. follower of Adnan Oktar. And the host asked her point blank about the allegation of child rape. Literally, that's how he put it. He put it as child rape. No hedging around that. And she said, yes, it did happen while she was there. She didn't see it with her own eyes, but that she believes that he was sexually assaulting women, girls, as young as 7 years old. And we should also acknowledge that this woman that I'm referring to was also in that Vice documentary that we've been talking about, and she was one of the more outspoken members right. of the group that spoke. And here's the thing: she's very intelligent. Like she has
things to say that are very thoughtful. She makes all these points in the Vice thing about how Darwin hated women, which there is evidence of. I mean, Darwin, he ate every animal that he discovered. Mm-hmm. He's a weird cat. And yeah, it was a time where most men were not particularly kind to women. And so I would imagine someone of Darwin's, you know, rarefied intellect, you know, probably was a bit of a pill to women. But she points out that, you know, there's nowhere else in the world other than this group, this cult, where women, the best you could hope for anywhere else in the world, she says, is for women to be treated as equals. But here, she says, women, when they walk into the room, they're treated like rare, you know, creatures of magic and mysticism.
This is love bombing. That's the technique.
One gazillion percent. We've talked about this in the episode where we interviewed the folks from Was I in a Cult? And it's just a very common technique. And now this Newsmakers episode was from July of 2018, still, you know, a handful of years ago. She's out and speaking openly about, you know, the abuse that she saw and suffered personally.
Yeah, and she's doing this, importantly, she's doing this before the trial. Right. She gets out early. So we're starting to see how deep this goes. And we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and we'll continue to dive deeper.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, in addition to all these horrific things, the court also learns about the inner working of the cult And Oktar's aims are very clear, and he is engaging in a highly targeted identification and turning system. We know this because several of his former followers spoke to the court in return for full immunity from prosecution. There was one guy who was identified publicly as Sahin, who says he became Oktar's follower as a teenager, as an impressionable, young, well-to-do Turkish kid. He learned about the movement from some friends. And of course, he's a teenage boy, so he's like super into, you know, the mystique of this most interesting man in Turkey, who's always surrounded by women who look like they come out of the cover of a fashion magazine, and he has cool stuff to say, you know, and he's got a different kind of Islam, a different kind of take that might fit you better. At least that's what Sahin thinks. And Oktar takes him in, starts dressing him in designer clothes, starts having him work out, gets him stylish, but not just to help this kid's self-esteem. Actually, that's probably one of the last concerns. Sahin learns that his good looks and his new persona are purpose-built as bait to lure Oktar's next goal, female followers. So he and the other male followers that Oktar calls his lions, they just hang out in malls or cafes, and there's so many cafes around Turkey, and they would just strike up conversations, pickup artist style, with women who happen by, and then he would give them his number, and he would say, hey, I'm a scout from a modeling agency, or I am hiring salespeople, and I like the cut of your jib. I like your vibe. And shout out to so many of our own listeners, our fellow conspiracy realists today, who have come close to seeing these approaches. I'm sure someone listening has been approached by a person who says, hey, I work for a modeling agency. Just spoiler alert, I don't think you should believe them. Anyway,
especially if they want you to pay them up front. That's always the biggest red flag. If an agent is like, hey, I'll represent you, and you got talent, you got what it takes, kid. Now just go ahead and pay me, and then we'll get you headshots and all that. So that is not how it works. True agents or true scouts, they get paid when you get paid.
Right, exactly. And they were so systematic about this that they had a name for their scheme. It was called the turnstile system. And it worked. It worked very, very well. Sahin says that he alone in his time brought over 200 women into the cult. And he said Oktar brainwashed him, got into his head, and had him thinking that what he was doing was right. He was spreading the good word. And we mentioned Ceylan Özkul. Let's talk a little bit more about her. So she joined the cult when she was 24. It was 2006. And until she left, she was one of the most prominent members. In these videos, you'll see that some of the kittens kind of sit and, you know, they respond by giggling or laughing, and they dance in their seats. And then others will speak themselves, right? They'll make their opinions known, or they'll say maybe a rehearsed speech of some sort. Ceylan was doing a lot of this, but after she got out, she said life in the group was a prison, and that a lot of people didn't take the threat of Oktar seriously because they thought he was an eccentric, maybe dirty old man who just liked having a bunch of scantily dressed women around him. But she said the abuse his victims went through was serious and life-changing. And these allegations, especially those of abusing children, are what led to media outlets like the Greek City Times calling him the Turkish Jeffrey Epstein. And the case is still, like, there's still developments happening in the case as of this year. Just this April, as we record in 2022, four of his lawyers got detained. On March 15th, 2022, his verdict was actually overturned by the Turkish Court of Appeal due to, quote, incomplete prosecution and erroneous assessment. And the court asked for a retrial of all the defendants. They decided to release 68 defendants, but they kept 16, including Oktar. He is incarcerated at the time of this recording. And you know what? I hate to admit, because this is dark, deeply disturbing stuff, but I hate to admit I chuckled when Oktar was asked about his arrest as the police are taking him from his house to a hospital for a medical check. Someone says, you know, what do you think this is all about? And he says, quote, this is a conspiracy by the British deep state.
Right. Yeah, that's a thing that's been thrown around, is that he believes British intelligence is setting him up in some way. Ben, there's a reason for that, though, right? It's not instantly apparent to me, but like there is some connection. He believes he's being targeted for what exactly?
He believes he's being targeted by the British state to weaken the what I guess he sees as the destiny of Turkey or the Ottoman Empire. Like he and his colleagues are fighting for a better Turkey. Well, he's essentially implying that that hidden group that runs the world, right, whether they are a particular religion or whether they're Freemasons or whether they're the British aristocracy, he's alleging that they, capital T, have some stuff they don't want you to know, and they're stopping Oktar from getting the word out. But with this guy, you know how his statement may change as the wind blows. You know what I mean?
Have we talked about the weirdness going on in Turkey right now with their foreign minister, Mevlut Cavusoglu? Or Cavusoglu? He's changed the name of the country to Turkey with an umlaut over it. Turkiye. He's rebranding the country.
Wait, I know that I remember this with Noel. He didn't like the Western association of Turkey, the country, with Turkey, the food.
Yeah.
Right? Is that
the lunch meat? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. but now it's like, you know, he's you know, insisting that like everyone else follow suit, like at their own expense, like Turkish Airlines and things like that. Right. So there's a lot going on over there. Unrelated to this particular story, but I did think that was an interesting flex from a foreign leader. This really is an ongoing story, Ben. And I highly can't recommend that Broadly piece enough. It's really short. It's only like 15 minutes. It's just really a great piece of journalism. And you're right there with her. And you really get a sense of what it feels like. And, you know, obviously innocent until proven guilty and all of that. But, man, there's a lot of smoke around this guy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's some sex abuse fire in there as well.
Absolutely. I mean, he was convicted of it originally. Also, he has this. These are just a few of his convictions, just the big ones. He's been arrested for other stuff as well, including cocaine possession. We're just saying he's been on the wrong side of the law pretty often, and he does seem to have ties to people who want to orchestrate a coup in the Republic of Turkey. At this point, whenever we do an episode touching on cultic organizations, it's important for us to end by saying that cults can be a real damaging thing. Check out our earlier episodes. Check out our YouTube videos on how cults are created. And please don't hesitate to write to us. If you have a loved one that you think has been taken in by a cult and you're looking for some resources on how to approach them about freeing their minds, we've got your back. We try to be easy to find online, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters.
Most of the things, yeah.
Many of those things.
Yeah, exactly. On those three that you mentioned just now. Well, no, actually, let's do this one more time. On Facebook, on Twitter, and YouTube, you can find us at Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, it's a little difference, Conspiracy Stuff Show. But lots of fun changes coming to all of those platforms, specifically YouTube and Instagram. So give those a look and be on the lookout in the very near future for some exciting updates to that content as well.
Yeah, and you know, not everybody sips the social meds. If you yourself don't partake, but you still have a message you want to get to us, well, then guess what? We have a phone number. We love saying it, and we love hearing from you on it.
That's right. It's 1-833-STDWYTK. Leave a message at the sound of Ben's dulcet tones, inviting you into the world of telephonic mystery and imagination. You've got 3 minutes to leave your missive or your tale or your question, whatever it might be. And if you need a little more time than that, by all means, tell us, you know, write a novel, but maybe do so via our good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number four best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.